Welcome to Torah Dimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU's Women's Initiative. I am Rebecca Belazon, and today we are studying Shoftim Perek Yud Beis. And the Perek begins with the people of Ephraim gathering, and they pass to the north. And according to Rashi, they actually cross the Yarden, and they go up north to Gilad to confront Yiftach. And they said to him, "Why did you go and fight Ammon and not call us to join?" They were very upset that they weren't included, and they threaten him. They say, "We're going to burn down your house with you in it." According to the Malbim, the people of Ephraim were not really upset that Yiftach didn't call them, but rather that he is the Rosh. They're upset that Yiftach is the head, because he is now in charge of Beit Yosef, of the two tribes of Yosef, Menashe, which is Yiftach's Shevet, and theirs, which is Ephraim, especially since, according to Yaakov's Brachos, according to Berkot Yaakov, they were supposed to be the greater tribe. They say to him, "If you would have called us, we could have also won the battle." But additionally, according to some of the Mefarshim, they didn't have respect for Yiftach, and they didn't think that he should be the leader, especially after what happened with his daughter. The Bnei Ephraim felt that Yiftach took this neder, Yiftach took this vow, because he wasn't sure of himself. And if he would have taken the time to gather more troops, he wouldn't have had to take such a neder, and he wouldn't have put himself in such a terrible position. According to the Ralbag, instead of being thankful to Yiftach for what he did and putting his life on the line, they are actually being kafoy tov, they are being ingrates, and they are threatening him. Now, if you remember, back in Perek Chet, there's a similar situation that occurs with Ephraim. Ephraim comes to Gidon with a similar claim. And in that situation, Gidon tries to appease them. Remember, he says, "You know, I only started the battle, you ended the battle, I killed some, but you killed the heads." He tries to appease them, he tries to make them feel good, and he's actually successful. But here, Yiftach does not do the same. And as we saw previously, Yiftach definitely had some arrogance to him, and according to the Ralbag, perhaps he wasn't capable of appeasing them. And so Yiftach responds, and according to the Malbim, he makes 3 points to the people of Ephraim. He says, number one, "Ish riv hayiti ani va'ami ubnei Ammon. I and my people were a great strife with the children of Ammon. The strife was between Ammon and the people of Gilead for the past 18 years. And therefore, it was on us to take care of it. We had to do something. We had to react." And number two, "Ve'ezakeschem v'lo oshatem osi miyadam. I called out to you and you did not save me from their hands. We called out and we cried all the days. You knew we were suffering and yet you did not come." And finally, the third point, "Vere ki incha moshia. I saw that you did not save me. You had a lot of time to step up. This took place over 18 years, and therefore I needed to take my life into my own hands. It was a very dangerous situation, but Hashem took care of me, and he gave the enemy to me. So now, why are you coming to fight me? I did what I needed to do. And I understand maybe if I lost, then you might have a complaint against me. But I won, so what are you doing here complaining?" And Yiftach gathered the men of Gilad, and he fought with Ephraim, and he struck Ephraim. And the lowest people of Ephraim, they ridiculed them and said, "Of what importance are you in Ephraim and Menashe? Like, you're nothings. What are you doing?" They literally made fun of him. And the Radak says that there must have been a hidden sin in Shevet Ephraim, because as we will see, there will be major casualties. So there must have been something there that we don't necessarily know about. Pasuk Hey, Ephraim starts to flee, and so the people of Gilad, they capture the bridges to prevent Ephraim from crossing back into Eretz Yisrael. And now they are standing guards at the bridges, and they need to know, well, are the people crossing? Are they from Shevet Ephraim or not? We don't want the people of Ephraim to escape. And they would ask, "Well, are you from Ephraim?" But obviously, nobody responded, "Yeah, I'm from Ephraim." They didn't want to be killed. And so they came up with a test. What was the test? They would ask them to say Shiboles. And if they would say Siboles, because they knew that the people from Ephraim, they were not able to pronounce it in that way, they would know that they were from Ephraim, they would grab them, and they would kill them. And at this time, 42,000 people from Bnei Ephraim died. Pasuk Zion continues, and Yiftach judged Bnei Yisrael for 6 years, and he died and he was buried in Arei Gilad. And we've mentioned this in the previous parak. According to the Radak, the fact that he was buried in the cities of Gilad was actually a punishment for what happened to his daughter. Yiftach got shrin, he got boils, he got some sort of ailment on his limbs, and what would happen was his limbs would die. And then at that point, wherever they would die, they would bury that limb. And therefore, his limbs were buried in different locations based on where he was at that time. According to the Ralbag, Yiftach did not have children to carry on his name, and therefore, he commanded the people to bury his bones in different locations to serve as a memorial so that he would be remembered for saving Bnei Yisrael from Bnei Amon. Pasuk Chet, after him, Iv's son from Beis Lechem judged. And the Pasuk tells us he had 30 sons and he had 30 daughters and he married his 30 daughters abroad and he brought 30 girls from abroad to marry his sons. And he judged for 7 years. Chazal tell us that Iv's son is actually Boaz, the man we know from the story of Rus, the man who ultimately marries Rus and eventually has David HaMelech. According to the Radak, the Pasuk tells us about his children and their marriages to tell us of his success and his greatness, that he was not only a judge, but he merited to witness the marriage of all of his children, which obviously shows us that he was a great person. And Radak brings another reason, which actually connects this story with the story we'll read in the next parak, the story of Shimshon. The next parak discusses Manoach, who is Shimshon's father. And the connection is that a person should not be haughty or very proud with his money or his possessions. Because what happened was that Iv's son, as we know, he had made 60 weddings, he made 60 celebrations, and he did not invite Manoach to any of those celebrations because Manoach was sterile, Manoach could not have any children, and therefore he could not reciprocate Iv's son's invitation, and therefore Iv's son did not invite Manoach to any of these celebrations. And because of this, we are told that all of Ivson's children actually died during Ivson's life, whereas Manoach's son became a shofet in his life. Chazal teach us that Ivson should not have thought that he was better than Manoach because of what he had, and he should have been sensitive to Manoach. Often we think that the presence, the gift that God gives us in life, we say, Kochi va'otzem yadi, it's me, I'm so smart, I'm so wise, I'm so accomplished, I was able to do this, I thought of that, look at these children, they're so great because I raised them. And we don't realize, we don't remember that they're really ultimately gifts from God. They should not be something that we are haughty because of. And in fact, we should be sensitive to others who do not necessarily have the great gifts that we have received in our lives. Pasuk Aleph, after him was Elon Hazvuluni, and he judged Bnei Israel for 10 years. And he died and was buried in Alon Be'eretz Zvulun. And after him was Avdon ben Hillel HaPerasoni, and he had 40 sons and 30 grandchildren that rode on 70 young donkeys, and he judged Bnei Israel for 8 years. Similarly, the Radak says that Avdon's success is illustrated here. He was able to see his children and his grandchildren grow up. And not only that, but they were very wealthy. They could ride around on donkeys and they did not need to work. And Avdon died and he is buried in Parason in the land of Ephraim. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.